One of my favorite artists, singer-songwriter Peter Mayer, who hails from Stillwater, Minnesota, has a breathtakingly beautiful song on his album Earthtown Square. The song is called The Play, the first few lines of which are, "When I go outside at night and look up and the stars are bright, sometimes I lay on the ground and imagine that the sky is down. And if the earth should then let go, I'd fall into the stars below. I'd fall into the stars below." It's a truly lovely song, a slow and tender lullaby. One of the many things I love about it, even in these first few lines, is how it invites me to shift how I see things, how I understand myself and my place in it all. It invites a reframing, a new and different way of knowing and of being. That's part of what we hope for from this podcast, Pause, Purpose, Possibility, to invite you who are kind enough to listen to consider new and different ways of knowing and being, to live into an expansive imagination about who you are and about what it means to live into a sense of vocation or calling, to live into a sense of purpose and possibility. I'm Chris Johnson, and again this week I'm so happy to be joined by my dear friends and Milkweed Group colleagues, Kelly Hsu, Kelsey Maddox, and Colleen Peterson, as we wonder and reflect together about pause. One of the gifts we give and are to each other is that we gather every 2 weeks to hold and support each other's lives, to share our headlines, celebrations, and heartbreaks, to help each other to bring the podcast into the world and occasionally collaborate on other projects, retreats, and such, and to consider big questions around things that matter in our own lives and in the world. Once in a while, we know ahead of time that we're going to want to talk about something that we imagine could make for good grist for the podcast mill, as is the case this time, as we invite you to eavesdrop on a conversation we had recently about pause. What is it? Why is it important? What makes it so hard? And more. And as you'll hear, one of the things that can be true about pause is that it can be a way to mix things up, to break familiar patterns or habits, to reframe how we see things or shift how we behave, how we live. And in the spirit of shifting or reframing familiar patterns, this time, instead of offering a few reflection questions and a practice to take with you at the end of the episode, here they are for you to take with you into the episode. What does pause mean to you? Why do you need pause? And what makes it hard for you to pause? What is one way that you might practice pause in your life this week? And, as a practice, try what Kelsey suggests near the end of tapping into your senses in a way that nourishes you. For example, as you're able, find and listen to a soothing piece of music or a sound in nature. Maybe it's the birds outside your window. Or maybe Peter Mayer's song, The Play, that I mentioned at the start. And let it wash over you and through you. And maybe even see if you find yourself laying on the ground and imagining that the sky is down. Thanks for being with us and for being who you are in and for the world.
Well, hi, everyone. This is Kelly, part of the Milkweed Group, and I'm joined today via Zoom by Kelsey, Colleen, Chris, all familiar voices. We've been here together before. We're happy to join you again tonight, today, to talk about pause, which is a subject that I've really wanted to talk about. And I should really say pause, and then I should pause because I just paused and went on with my sentence. And the reason I really was excited to talk about this, I think, is a huge part of me is yearning for more pause in my life. I don't even have time to think about what it means to me. What does pause look like? Why am I feeling like I want pause in my life if I don't even know what it looks like to me? I know it's important. I know that times when I can pause, like when we joined together earlier today, we had a few minutes of silence, which to me, that's a pause. And that felt so great. I want more of that. I've been reminded of how much more I want pause in my life lately. Two instances in particular that stick out. One of them was a work call where I meet with the same group of people every Monday for an hour. And I've started to ask, get to know you kind of questions at the beginning of our time together. And my most recent question was, how do you find rest? And I put it in quotes and I said, not sleeping in your life. And I'm realizing maybe that is kind of maybe what I intended is how do you find pause in your life or kind of having that restful breath maybe. Usually the questions I ask maybe are a little less in depth and people quickly answer. And this was really hard for everyone, including myself, the question asker, to even respond to. So that was an instance where I thought, man, pause maybe is what I meant for the word rest because I was wanting more of that in my life and I wanted ideas from people. The other instance recently that made me think of pause was sitting in my one-year-old's room trying to get him to sleep. You rock him, you put him down, he's awake, he's crying, he needs rocking. And my husband and I were kind of at our wits' end. And we decided to try something we hadn't tried yet, which was lay on the floor in the room beside his crib. No rocking, just let him be. And we laid there for 45 minutes to an hour and watched him cruise around his crib and just do all these funny things. But it was more than a moment of pause for me to take in what was happening and appreciate the humor in it, which I did not feel before. You know, I was frustrated, I was tired, I was all the emotions. Yeah, and that felt good to lay there on the floor with my husband. And we both were in the same mindset. We didn't even say anything to each other. We were trying to be very quiet, but I could tell we were both our shift, the pause that our child helped us have shifted our brains from being in a place of frustration, anger, maybe even to a place of humor and lightheartedness and trying something, you know, trying a new technique. Let's see what happens because the pause that our child helped us create. So I know all of you are very wise, and that's why I love meeting with you. So I would love to hear from you what you think when you think of pause. How would you define what that means, what that looks like?
This is Kelsey talking. What comes to mind for me immediately is pause being synonymous with reprieve. Pause can also be like a forced timeout. If, for example, you found yourself in burnout, you have no choice in your state but to pause. And maybe you pause for a longer time because there's a backlog of not pausing, right? I think that's the meaning it holds to me, is that it's really synonymous with reprieve. It's synonymous with maybe a a conscious choice to have reprieve. But like I mentioned with burnout, you might be forced into it too. But I think the meaning for me is held in well, I also I honestly I can't help but go to liminal space again, because a pause is a space between two things, essentially. But perhaps what I'm trying to emphasize is that that space between two things, an intentional pause, is usually a nurturing one, a reprieve. I was immediately reminded of the Viktor Frankl quote. Are any of you familiar with this quote about stimulus and response and there being a space between? No, shaking heads, no. Okay, I'll go ahead and read the quote for you.
As you're finding your way to that quote, any of us can maybe give a three-word explanation of who Viktor Frankl is for folks who don't know. Or Kelsey, as you're sharing the quote, whatever you can tell us about Viktor Frankl would be good. Sorry for the interruption.
No, you're okay. I don't know a whole lot about Viktor Frankl other than some of his writing. Do you know, Chris? Could you say anything about him?
Yeah, put me on the spot. Put myself on the spot. My first encounter with him was in college, fall semester of my first year of college, when in one of my courses I was asked to read a book called Man's Search for Meaning. Sorry about the non-gender inclusive language there, but Man's Search for Meaning. If I am recalling correctly, part of his story is that he was a Jewish prisoner in Nazi concentration camps and managed to survive, and went on to be a therapist whose work centered a lot on lessons he learned in the worst possible conditions imaginable in the concentration camp. And he is famous. I don't know that it's his phrase in particular, but I associate the phrase one who has a why to live can live with almost any how. And that, again, kind of grows out of his experience in the concentration camps. So, yes, a wise figure, very worth quoting. And I'm glad you're weaving him in here, Kelsey. Mm-hmm. So with that bit of an interlude there, go for it. What do you want to share with him, with us about him?
This quote came to mind. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. So again, for me, pause has this connotation of reprieve and even liberation. Liberation from what you were previously experiencing, or not that we need to be liberated every moment or that we're all in suffering, but pause invites that for me. And the only other thing I would add in terms of what it means to me is I grew up on a farm in the 80s and 90s, and pause in the summer as a kid was more available than doing. In other words, there wasn't like the space between things was more extensive than the schedule was. You know, maybe we had to go pick rock or harvest something, but do chores in the morning and in the evening. But for the majority of the time, the whole day was like a giant pause. And now as a grown up, I'm in a different environment. I do live in an urban area, but I find that I have to, between the responsibilities of adulthood and living in an area where there's more stimuli, I have to really be intentional about pause, as you were saying, Kelly. Like, I have to really maybe seek it or consider it or weave it into my day and my being. And so I guess that's when you ask, what does it mean? I'm just noticing that it's something that maybe isn't as readily available as it once was, whether that's because technology has changed things for all of us or because my personal circumstances have changed. It is something that requires intention.
Thank you both, Kelsey, and for that, and Kelly, for getting us started. This is Chris. One of the things that's coming to me is the necessity of pause as fueling the intersection between personal interior inward life and our exterior life and work in the world. And that pause is necessary for both of those to be rich and full and deep and meaningful and effective and so on. I have mentioned in other episodes recently about things I'm learning about the grind culture that we live in, constantly on 24/7 hamster wheel treadmill sort of approach to life, where we're defined by our work and our value is tied to our productivity and so on. And things I've been learning about how all of that is rooted in white supremacy, and that pause or rest, Sabbath, stepping back, is powerfully and necessarily countercultural in addressing the corrosive social, political, relational ills of the world in which we live. Pause is necessary for individuals to live flourishing lives, and socially, societally, for communities to flourish. And without it, we perpetuate destructive impulses and ways of being together. So that's one of the things that pops up. As important and earnest and furrowed brow as I realize I was in saying all of that, pause, I think, is also, pause can be about delight and fun and joy and play. So you all know that my life's work for the last number of years, decades, has been around the concept of vocation, meaning, calling, purpose, identity, and so on. And it just makes a whole lot of sense. I don't know linguistically, etymologically, what's to be made of this, but there is one letter difference between vocation and vacation. That ability, that capacity, that intentionality to step back, have fun, breathe, play, rest, I think is integral to our living our best lives, our living into our deepest senses of calling and identity and purpose and meaning. So it also is no accident that the title of the podcast is Pause, Purpose, Possibility. Pause is integral to those other two things. They're all woven together. And as socially, politically necessary as it is for those kind of earnest, serious ways that I mentioned before, my hope, my intention is that pause also carries with it connotation of just letting loose. And I say that with all due awareness that I am a very much a Swedish Minnesota Lutheran farmer's son. So what letting loose for me is going to look like will be very different, I expect, than for other folks. But yeah, pause also invites play.
I recently saw something about why we keep ourselves busy, which is the opposite of this. But I think one of the reasons why we don't pause, or a reason we keep ourselves busy, is to distract ourselves from maybe hard stuff that's going on. And I don't think that's always bad to distract ourselves if for different reasons. which doesn't mean that pause isn't still important, but I think, yeah, there are times where pause is, yeah, I don't know, maybe doesn't meet someone where they're at. Like, I think of a time where I had a long, difficult mental health season, and pausing to be by myself was not a positive, healthy thing for me to be doing because of where my head was. And I think of other people who are maybe in really lonely seasons, that pausing or being still doesn't nourish where they're at and what they're needing. But I also think sometimes it takes pause to even recognize what is nourishing to me, what is it that I need.
That's raising for me a wondering, Colleen. Thanks for that. That's all really astute and wise. It's raising for me a wondering, though, about whether or how pause can, in fact, take different shapes depending on circumstance or what need needs to be met. So pause maybe doesn't necessarily lead to change or shift, but maybe pause is change or shift, and that it simply it marks getting out of one mode and moving into a mode that is more healthy or life-giving. So maybe enforced stillness or quiet would be, in fact, life-draining or soul-sucking in the ways that you were just describing, Colleen. And so in that kind of case, maybe pause takes a different shape. Maybe pause is about getting up and going outside for a walk or getting together with friends precisely in order to get yourself out of isolation. So how is that landing for you, that pause can be itself the shape that shift or change or movement in the direction of sustaining your soul or your body, rather than simply or always being about stop or rest or stillness or quiet?
Yeah, I appreciate that, what you shared.
Why? How? What makes sense to you about that? Or feel free to push back.
I think of pause as, I think about it in the way that I have personally found it most helpful or grounding, which equals a physical, well, maybe not like a stillness, a calm, a quiet. I live in the city, so going to a place where I don't hear traffic or there's not a lot of stimuli, for me equals a pause. It feels like a pause. But I appreciate the, but yeah, I think this is maybe something to get into another conversation around this. But yeah, what does pause look like, or what can it look like? Just because I think everyone would have different understandings or experiences with it. What does pause look like, or what can it look like?
Love that. Cause that's exactly where I was going listening, is like, I want to hear more of your stories or examples of like what pause looks like to you. And I think you all, like, you nailed it, of that it can be one pause for Colleen, the way that you pause by going outside, maybe is not maybe the same good pause for someone else. And how do you even start to understand what a healthy, beneficial pause looks like to you, and not just what someone else is doing or what someone else says is the way to take a pause or what really works for them? Like, how can you figure out what works for you? And I had another question that also came to mind that I would love to talk about. I do think that this would be good for our next episode on pause 2.0 or phase 2 or whatever. So hearing your stories of pause, when pause has been good, or maybe when pause has been bad, and why, and how have you discovered the ways that you think of pause in your life, that you identify what works for you as a pause? Oh, I remember the other question I'm really curious about for the next episode to hear is, why is it so hard to infuse pause when you find a way that pause might be good for you or might be a way that fills what you need? Why is it so hard to insert in your life, to think about in your day, or maybe you are pausing. You haven't thought that you are, but maybe you have. What I would really love to hear is tackling the challenge that I feel in my life, which is pause is hard to infuse in my day regularly, frequently enough to meet my needs.
I'm going to address the question because it sparks a lot for me.
Okay. I'll invite you, Kelsey, as you're doing that, I'll invite you to wind down in whatever ways you think will feel good as a way of bringing this episode to a pause and enticing people to come back for another one. So go for it. And then you will have the last word.
Sounds good.
No pressure.
So I heard you ask, Kelly, what does pause look like? And I also heard Colleen and Chris address that it could look different for everybody. So in fact, you may be pausing. Like, for example, you inevitably pause on the toilet. Not something I was planning on saying, but I'm just recognizing that, like, very often this is like a moment in the day. And if you don't bring your phone with you, bonus points, like that's a true pause. However, I think it could also look like, man, I might need to backpedal here. It could also look like what was really coming to mind as you were asking the question is, are like the moment there. So there's pause like vacation, week long vacation. There's pause like I'm going to take my lunch break. But there's even more intentional invitations to pause throughout the day, like noticing how warm your mug is. I have a friend from whom I picked up a habit of nestling my tea mug into my chest when I drink tea. So it literally warms my heart. And that is always a moment of, even if someone's talking to me in that moment, there's always this moment that feels like pause. So using our senses, I guess, and sort of like coming into the moment with our senses is, for me, maybe not everyone, but for me, a way that pause becomes instantly available. Or maybe just having enough bandwidth to say, to check in with yourself and say, what kind of do I need a pause, or what do I need in this moment? What do I need? Is it pause? Because maybe the kind of pause I need is actually a change in my environment. So I'm going to go for a walk. And that's a pause from the computer, like Colleen mentioned. So it can look different for every person. And I think in every moment, and it does maybe require some attunement to oneself. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say, is that it requires attunement. And then there's also intentional pause of like scheming a vacation, for example, or saying, I'm going to take this retreat. And I do know that for some folks that isn't readily available due to paying bills and all of this, but the luxury of a vacation may not be available. But the ability to ask oneself, what do I need now? Or can I notice that bird chirping or nestle this mug a little closer is available, I think, to most of us. So that's what sparked with your question. And I'm really grateful we got to talk about this, and that it's expansive enough that there will be a second episode. So thanks for hanging out with us tonight, everybody. Today, depending on when you're listening.
Always lovely to be with you all. I love this conversation.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.